Yeah, actually, it is Breakfast with James and Jimmy. You got us for another week. Fossey and Brandy having themselves a bit of a holiday. There we go. Nice early start there. Early ball. Early ball to you, James Magnuson. How are you, missile?
I'm good, Jimmy. How are you?
Mate, I'm really well. Big weekend. Lots of sport being watched over the course of this weekend. I felt like I lived on an island.
Why is that?
Well, we went out for basketball on Saturday and then beyond that, basically didn't leave the house over the course of the weekend. Got to make mention of those people near the Nepean and the Hawkesbury Rivers. Yep. And it's just crazy. So we know that there's been so much flooding, so many lives and businesses have been impacted. It's the fourth time in the space of about almost less than 18 months that these places have been impacted by severe floods. So everyone, stay safe and I hope everyone's well, and I hope everyone's following the instructions that have been handed out by the SES and now the Australian Defence Force involved in that one. So because of the weather conditions, just didn't go anywhere. So
yeah, it's crazy weather, isn't it? Absolutely crazy weather.
We seem to be getting more and more extreme weather events.
Yep, I agree with you. I agree with you.
Happy 4th of July, everyone. Independence Day. Get into your hot dogs and your apple pie. I'm sure everyone will be doing that. It's the Monday edition of the Brekkie Show. As we say, Vossie and Brandy back next week on the SEN Network, 1170 SEN in Sydney, SEN Track on the Central Coast and down the Illawarra, 90.3 FM in Griffith, and of course anywhere around the globe on the SEN app. A big shout out to SEN Track down at Canberra, 1323 AM. And remember, you can let us know what's happening in your part of the world, 0457 736 736. If you want to listen via the podcast, you can do that today. Brett Phillips is on. Just another weekend at Wimbledon for Nick Kyrgios. Headlines all around the globe for him. He's into third favourite.
I'm backing him in for this one. I thought he looked great against Tsitsipas. That's as good as he gets, Kyrgios.
Yeah. Yep. And a war of words after that, so we'll have a chat about that. Matty Johns and Cameron Smith will be on the program after 8 o'clock. Michelle Bishop throughout the course of the program as well. The McDonald Jones open line, it's there, 1300 01 1170, as mentioned. Get us on the text, 0457 736 736. All right, let's get stuck into it. Over $4 million raised for the Mark Hughes Foundation, so well done on that one. But so many big stories coming out of the course of the weekend. Where to start? What about the Warriors? Just amazing scenes over there, full house. It always seemed to play out. They played okay. The West Tigers actually played okay as well, too. I thought defensively they were pretty good. But New Zealand Warriors win it, and that seems sort of appropriate, right, James? Go home, win the game.
Yeah, it did. Look, they even had a bit of bad luck just before game day with Reece Walsh pulling out due to COVID. So the bad luck continues for the Warriors, but they were able to pull through and win that one. It was great scenes to see them back at home.
Yeah, amazing and thoroughly deserved too. Going through some of the other games that we saw, the 6 o'clock game that was covered here on 1170 SEN on the Friday, that was the Knights v the Titans. Yeah. I tweeted at the time, I don't think I've ever seen as bad a performance by the Titans from any NRL team as we had from the Titans on Friday night. It was hopeless.
Yeah.
It was completely without intent, completely lacking in commitment. They looked like they hadn't been coached. As soon as I saw, I thought, Holbrook's under massive pressure now.
Could you imagine if they were a Sydney team? Like we barely talk about them down here,
yes,
right? And my girlfriend asked me on the weekend, like I was talking about the Titans. I said, the coach is in trouble. She said, well, how come, like she barely knows who the Titans are. She's not a rugby league fanatic. She says, how come nobody ever reports on it? I said, we just don't really care about the Titans that much.
Yes.
And then you get to thinking, if we don't care about the Titans, is a team on the Gold Coast really that viable? Like, you know what I mean? If the reason we don't talk about them and the reason reporters don't write about them is that there's a genuine lack of interest from the public, what are we doing here?
Well, I'm not sure that's the case. The other thing about it is it's such a huge area population-wise for Australia.
Yeah.
It's one of the big population centres. You've got to have a team in there. It's rugby league territory. The Suns are really struggling. You've got to maintain your foothold in there for rugby league. So, yes, have your rugby league team. They just can't run 16th,
yeah,
which is where they're running at the moment. And the Knights aren't a good side, and
not
they flog
all
them.
They looked $1 million against against the Titans.
Hey, yeah. Well done. I don't know whether you saw it on Saturday night. I know you're out at the Doggies games.
Yeah.
What about you and I? Very bullish about the +8.5.
Yeah.
Ray Faith Taylor Mariner.
Drops it over the line.
Roomba Multi. Got to him on Instagram. Have you ever played I'm joking.
Have you ever played in a game that wet?
So many times. It was a throwback, though.
Yeah. Because the new fields generally hold up a lot better than that.
Haven't seen it like that in 2 decades.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was just how torrential the rain was out there. And it was actually, so it was bucketing down when the game started, and it proceeded to get heavier as it went, which you wouldn't think was possible.
No.
And the funny thing, we had Timmy Menner on SEN.
One of the all-time greats.
Was doing the live call. And he went down on the field after the match. He's in his Ringers Western boots.
Nice.
Tiptoeing through the water. And he's got an umbrella. And then as he was going out to his first player he interviews, he passes the mic to them and then puts the umbrella over them. I was like, Timmy, they've just played 80 minutes in torrential rain. They could not be any wetter if they tried. And he's holding the umbrella over them while he interviews them. What a nice guy.
Grand finalist in the world's nicest bloke.
Yeah.
T. Manor. Yeah. Might even start as favourite too. Another game on the Saturday night was the South Sydney Rabbitohs against the Eels. Eels fans, come on, get on the line.
Yeah.
You are the most Jekyll and Hyde team in the competition. Forget about it. Like, you can be running 16th as the Titans. The Eels. Yeah. Imagine being an Eels supporter.
I can't. One week
you're a premiership threat. The next week you are getting flogged again by the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Latrell Mitchell, spectacular. Did you happen to catch that game and Latrell's performance?
I did. I was thinking off the back of that, Latrell's a good shot here, getting picked. He declared that he won't be available for Origin 3. When was the last time we saw that? Do you reckon that was Jamie Lyon maybe?
It's a very good point that you make. Let's have a listen to Latrell post-match.
Yeah, well, Jason said during the week there was a chance you might not play 80 minutes, but you got through the 80 unscathed. You must be feeling confident that if you did get the opportunity at Origin that you'd be able to fill that.
Nah, I think I'm going to shut down them headlines now. I'm going to pull myself out. I'm going to worry about South, focus on myself. You know, they've got a real good team there at New South Wales, and good luck to Burton in the centres, and give Crichton a go too. Let him have a go. Let him bleed in, and yeah, I just really want to focus on South Sydney and myself and get myself right for the back end of the season.
Audio courtesy of Fox Sports there. Wow. I wonder if Freddie knew beforehand or he fell off the couch watching at home.
Yeah, that's a good point. I'm not sure. You would think that Latrell may have spoken to him prior to that, but I'm not sure.
He and Freddie enjoying a great relationship.
Yeah.
Smoothed out after the visit up to the Tari pub in the off-season of 2020 or 2019, 2020.
Yeah, the year after he dropped him from Origin.
Yeah, sorted out. And the way he played on the weekend, like if you said, okay, I want to put him up against Stephen Crichton, Jack Whiten, and compare them, Matt Burton.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Latrell's a superstar.
He is. Yeah. Well, he'll have many more Origin series ahead of him. But, yeah, I'm a little disappointed he won't be there.
Did you see that? I saw two grown men skipping on Saturday night into the South Sydney rooms. That's Jason Demetrio and Blake Solly, the coach and the CEO.
Takes a bit of pressure off, doesn't it?
It just means that, you know, you want your player. You could never say, no, we want him to play for South. Because every player say, oh, no, go to State of Origin.
Yeah.
But please come home safe.
Yeah.
And now he's not going to go to State of Origin. So
with that win, South's kind of cement themselves in that 8. So things are looking up now Latrell's back.
All right, let's have a look at the Bailey Ladders then. Worksite trusted for over 60 years. The Panthers, the minor premiership's theirs, right? 6 points away. 30 points, 24 points, the Cowboys and the Storm. The Sharks on 22. There's your top four. The Broncos, the Eels on 20. The Rabbits there in 7th spot on 18. The Dragons. Oh, the Dragons in 18th. You can't tell me that the Dragons is a better side than the Roosters. You can't tell me that.
Yeah.
The way the Roosters played on Friday night.
They were impressive. They've got a tough run home, though, the Roosters. A really tough run.
The ladder update, thanks to Bailey Ladders, bringing efficiency to the worksite for over 60 years. So the Titans last, the Tigers 15th, and the Bulldogs 14th. I just want to... There's a bit more to get through around Origin. We're going to have the sides today, but Payne Haas looks like he's out.
Yeah.
Huge loss.
Huge.
Jordan McLean.
Is that who your pick would be?
Well, that's what they're suggesting. Would not be my pick.
No. Mine neither.
Who would you go with?
Regan Campbell-Gillard. Who would you go with?
Game one. Okay, Regan Campbell-Gillard. I agree with that. But what's Dave Clemmer done wrong? Like, if I had the option of Jordan McLean or Dave Clemmer, I'm doing Dave Clemmer.
Yeah.
100 times out of 100.
Yeah, yeah. The funny thing about Dave Clemmer was I never, it was like a Josh Addo Carr scenario, right? Like, he never did anything wrong in Origin to lose his spot. He was a beast in Origin. He took on the entire Queensland Pack one series.
Yes,
remember when they said he was disrespectful?
To Corey Parker.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's a lunatic. He belongs in Origin. Similar to what they thought about Jake Trbojevic. I think they think the game has passed by him and his style, but I think he's born for Origin.
So, yeah, Regan Campbell-Gillard, he was there for game one. He started in game one.
Yeah.
But he's not there for game three when you're down a prop.
No, it's a strange one, isn't it?
So here's the other thing. The thing about Payne Haas is that he's not only metres but minutes, right? He can push out big minutes, as they say.
Yeah.
Jordan McLean averaging 42 minutes this year.
Oof.
Dave Clemmer, 58.
So are they suggesting Jordan McLean would come into that team and start? Must?
Great question. Don't know.
Must.
Well, what about Junior Barlow?
Yeah.
His impact from the bench. Anyway, that's to be named today. Felice Kaufusi not in the Maroons side, staying in Los Angeles to be with his ill father. This is interesting. The Melbourne Storm have lodged a complaint with the NRL following comments made by Wayne Bennett on SEN last Friday. This was on the debut of SENQ.
It's good, isn't it?
Well done, Patton Heels. Well done. He said he was confident of getting Cameron, if not for next season, then after that, the season after.
Yeah.
You can't say that.
Yeah, I'm really happy for SENQ that they got Wayne Bennett first show and he's dropped a bombshell like that.
Exactly.
So we were doing crunch time on Saturday and Adrian Prasenko was saying the Storm are doing a press conference with Cameron Munster. And we were thinking, is he saying he's leaving next year? Is he saying he's re-signed? They came out, they rolled him out for a press conference to say, I'll be honouring my contract.
Yes.
Which is really no news, right? It's
it's
a bit of a up yours to Wayne Bennett, I think.
It was a direct response to Wayne Bennett.
Yeah.
Direct response. Shows I'm going nowhere.
He's getting under their skin, isn't he?
Maybe.
He's already taken, three out of their starting forward pack.
Great question to ask Cam Smith after 8 o'clock to see whether that is having an impact. So I just want to sort of put it in a little bow. We're talking about the NRL over the course of the weekend. Bad weekend for referees. Bad weekend for referees.
Any one in particular that stands out?
Two, probably.
Two?
Yeah, Jared Sutton Friday night.
Yeah.
Roosters-Panthers.
Yeah.
Like the decision to, there's two decisions out of that one. The Sam Verrills tackle.
Crazy.
And then it leads to a try.
Yeah.
And as Trent Robinson says, yes, we should defend that try, but they should never have been given the opportunity to be in a position to score that try. And why does Angus Crichton get sent to the sin bin three tackles after the incident? Have you ever seen that before? I've never seen that before.
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah.
Strange one. So Jerry Sutton, under pressure. Not as much pressure as poor old Peter Goff yesterday. So I don't know whether you caught the back end of that Dragons Raiders. When I say back end, literally the last 3 seconds.
Okay. I didn't see it.
Yeah, okay. So Ben Hunt, wise. He probably knew, and again, another one for Cam Smith. You know the personality of the referee you've been talking to all day.
Yep.
Is this bloke going to blow a penalty for me here? And he didn't. He blew it. He said six again, right? When Ben Hunt just jumped on the bloke who'd already been tackled.
Yeah.
Could quite easily have been a penalty on that occasion.
Professional foul?
Professional foul, just slowing everything down because of the time, right?
Yeah. So I hate seeing that.
It was either a six again or a penalty. Now, the brave referee blows a penalty. The other one, you just go right six again. Then, to be clearly not square at marker, like nowhere near square at marker. I saw on Saturday night, Luciano Leilua in that Cowboys v. the Broncos game. He was just not quite square at marker. Penalty. Penalty to the Broncos. Ben Hunt was never square at marker. No penalty.
Mm.
Now, I'm not.
And there was only 2 points in it, wasn't there?
It's golden point.
Yeah.
It's golden point. Yeah. And look, I hate the fact that this is talked about a lot, but there you are. There's the very, non-similar incidents. The one that was penalised was far less obvious than the one that wasn't penalised. And that's over the course of the one weekend. So take your thoughts on all of that. We won't get bogged down by it, though. So there you go. Nick Kyrgios is in the news, of course, from Wimbledon. He took on Stefanos Tsitsipas. Flogged him.
Smashed him. Best he's looked.
Best he's looked. There we go. So the missile's backing in. Big Nick Kyrgios. Here's what Stefanos had to say post-match.
It's constant bullying. That's what he does. He bullies his opponents. He was probably a bully at school himself. I don't like bullies. I don't like people that put people, other people down. He also has a very evil side to him, which if it's exposed, it can really do a lot of harm and bad to the people around him. Other people disrespect me and don't respect what I'm doing from the other side of the court. It's absolutely normal from my side to act and do something about it.
Thoughts, Missile?
Would he be saying he was a bully if he'd beaten him? Like, those press conferences for mine don't have the same impact when you've just been absolutely smashed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is he a bully? Isn't the definition of a bully is someone who can't fight back?
Yeah.
Stefanos is the number four on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
And he had a racket last time I looked.
Yeah. Tsitsipas has got a bit in him too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's... Nick's response.
The circus was all him today. I actually felt great. I just think he's making that match about me, like, he's got some serious issues. He's that soft, like, to come in here and say I bullied him and stuff, that's just soft. Like, that's just, we're not cut from the same cloth. Like, I go up against guys who, like, are true competitors. Like, if he's affected by that today, then that's what's holding him back. Because someone can just do that and that's going to throw him off his game like that. He's got to, like, I just think it's soft.
So the world number 40 hasn't made a quarterfinals of a Grand Slam since 2015. Just give me an insight of what's holding back the world number 4.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? That would have been salt in the wound when Tsitsipas heard that. He would be seething.
Can you imagine that?
Wouldn't it be great to see a bit of fisticuffs in the tennis?
Well, they reckon John McEnroe used to get punched in the head all the time in the players. You can't do it now, obviously.
Yeah. Well, if there was a player that would probably be flying close to the sun for getting punched in the head.
Nick Kyrgios,
I reckon.
Although he's big.
He is. Isn't it funny, though, when Kyrgios starts turning it on, the circus, the sideshow, turns into the main show.
Yeah.
And we start believing, and then we start taking him seriously again. And then, look, it may happen this time. It may not, but inevitably, the wheels fall off. So that's what I watch for. I'm like, when's the next big blow-up coming?
To your point, which you've been saying all along now, and especially last week, I watched a bit of Alex Diminor. I think he straight sets, did it comfortably against the British.
Cruise through, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Highest ranked Aussie player, male player. Go the demon.
Yeah. And then Kyrgios comes out and sprays the umpire.
Yeah,
there it is.
Not
There's
quite
the
engagement that we're looking for
with
Nick. He doesn't move the dial as much. Incredible win for the Wallabies over there in Perth, 30-28. They were down to 14 men. So that was an amazing win. Quade Cooper pulled out about 3 minutes before kickoff with a calf injury.
Yeah.
Noah Lolesio went, no, you mate, you better go on, and played well.
Yeah.
That is a tough athlete. Speaking of tough athletes, we were going to speak to Jai Opetaia on Friday. He didn't come on the program. He wasn't able to. We promoted him, then had to pull the pin because he was cutting weight. So he had to make the way in. So he was training and cutting weight. We didn't get him on. He won a war. He is now the IBF and Ring Magazine Cruiserweight Champion of the World in a major upset against one of the greatest cruiserweights in history, Marais Bradis, and he did it with a broken jaw on both sides.
Insane. Have you seen the scans that have been posted online?
It's yes.
Literally cut in half.
I posted them. Thanks for your support.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Is that you?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, that's where I saw it.
Second round and sixth round. Left side of the jaw, second round. Right side of the jaw, sixth round.
Crazy.
Went on and won a 12.
He couldn't even talk.
Couldn't talk.
No.
Couldn't talk. So it goes down with McCosker, Sattler, Brereton, the great
Burgess.
Performances, Burgess, with injury. 1-300-01-1170-0457-736-736. That's your Monday. A break and back with more.
Yeah, welcome back. You got the double J's this morning, Jimmy and James. Jimmy, the listeners are not happy with you.
Good.
Dragons
Which
fans.
Listeners?
Dragons fans. Oh. Wayne says, Jimmy, I can tell you the Dragons are a better side than the Roosters. They beat them on their home ground on Anzac Day, and they'll beat them again on the Central Coast in a few weeks.
What do you want to put on it, Wayne? What do you want to put on it right now? Right now. Anyway. now, this time of the day we do this. Our man Jay the Bookman has had an entire weekend to get us giggling, which has had you doing over the last couple of days, Miss Ole.
Let's go, Jay. What do you got for us?
Yeah, sadly, our house was broken into over the weekend, and they seemed to take a lot of things that didn't have great sale value, but very high sentimental value. They even took the last present that my late grandfather gave me, which was a limbo stick. How low can you go?
How would you describe that? There was it was a definite reaction change from you.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. So.
It wasn't bad. I'm convinced he's writing his own material, so we'll give him time to improve.
He's the bookman, so there are books you would think of sort of jokes out there. But anyway, he's writing his own stuff. Dragons have a for and against differential of minus 70. The Roosters is plus 21. Anyway, they're a much better side, allegedly. We'll find out. Round 18, Wayne. News now, and then we're back with more. Thank you, Vanessa. We're doing it here for Brighton's Lawyers, the lawyers helping you in your time of need. You can call Brighton's today on 1-800-848-848 or visit brightons.com.au. Also for 4D Doors, Garage Doors Redefined, visit 4ddoors.com.au. James Magnusson, Jimmy Smith in for Vossie and Brandy. Matty Johns, Cam Smith after 8 o'clock. Lots of people having their say on lots of different things. We've got a live game at the moment. We've got Novak Djokovic up against Tim Van Rytheven. And the scoreline now, I think Rytheven, he's just taken the second set. He has,
yeah.
So there we go. One set apiece. One set apiece. Novak Djokovic in a bit of a battle there, which is interesting. Time for this.
Hi, you've reached James. Sorry I can't take your call. Leave a message and I'll get back to you.
Beep, beep. Still tricks me every time you're speaking and your lips aren't moving.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know where to start with these texts, Jimmy.
Okay.
You've got Dragons fans riled right up.
Okay.
Are you a Dragons hater?
No, not at all.
Oh.
But when people come in with ridiculous comments, they must be addressed.
Well, we've got everyone here, really. Our first texter here said, "Gee, Jimmy, you are a Dragons hater, just like Alexander Roach and Warren Smith. The Dragons were the better side and deserved to win."
When? Yesterday?
Yeah.
And no one said I didn't say they weren't a better side than Canberra yesterday. People are saying, are they a better side than the Roosters? The Roosters are a better side than the Dragons. Would you agree, James?
Yeah, if I had to pick who I think will go further in the season, I'd pick the Roosters. But obviously, the table speaks for itself at the moment. The Dragons are above.
Okay, yeah. All right. Big man Jimmy says Wayne from Budgie. No, all I'm saying is, Wayne, what do you want to put on it? Let's let's put something on it. So there we go. Well, look, I like this one. I like this one. So this is the wolf. The wolf who's a sheep in wolf's clothing. No, a wolf in sheep's clothing. That's what he is. Jimmy and the Scud. Master coach Robbo is feeling the heat of coaching the Sombreros into 10th place. Just to preface this, James, the Wolf is a Dragon supporter. So what does rugby league's poor man's intellectual do? He blames the ref. The refs don't like us. So Robbo does what he does best, deflect responsibility. He walks into the press conference with his eyes bulging and sweating, baked saliva on his lips, and talks about the unfairness of life. I love his misery. Absolutely love it, says the Wolf. Woo-hoo. So that's his take on that.
That's an interesting one. We've got a rebuttal here about the Gold Coast. So Tim says, "Good morning, boys. Just a couple of points. The Gold Coast has a big population, but it's also a transient population, which means it's full of supporters of the other 15 clubs, not necessarily born and bred Titans. Also, didn't Freddie axe Clemmer a few years back because of an attitude problem?"
So there's a fair bit to unpack there from Tim. Thank you very much for the text message. Yes, if they are a transient population, then if you have any sort of success on the Gold Coast, and I don't know that anyone has from a sporting point of view.
No.
Aren't you the opportunity then to grab those transient population? Yes, there's a little bit transient, but there's plenty of people live full-time on the Gold Coast.
What is it about the Gold Coast? Like, if I look back over the past 15, 20 years,
yes,
I can't think of a player that's gone to the Gold Coast Titans and got better. It's just, I don't know if it's the lifestyle, too many distractions. Like we said, they're a little bit out of sight, out of mind. But like from all reports, Justin Holbrook is an amazing coach. He had huge raps on him before he went there.
Yes.
He hasn't been able to turn it around.
Over the course of the weekend, that got me thinking. So now does this make Christian Wolf a question mark? Because Justin Holbrook was over there with St. Helens, right? That's like coaching Manchester probably a bad example. That's like coaching Liverpool or Manchester City in the English Premier League. You have every resource available, right? You've got the best players.
Yeah.
You're better than 75% of the other teams in the competition just to start with. Right? And so now you go, because I agree with you, Justin Holbrook came back with a reputation that was superb.
Yeah.
And you just thought it was a matter of time. And then he takes his side to ninth, then he takes his side to eighth, and they're literally one pass away from getting into the second week of the finals against the Roosters last year. And it's fallen apart so quickly. I would have to say, though, I don't know what sort of help he's getting up there, but his roster management's horrible.
Yeah.
The roster management is really poor.
Well, remember whenever there's been big signings and positive moves by the Gold Coast, Mal Meninga's been everywhere, all through the press.
Yes.
I've just signed for Fida. Mal Meninga's brought Tino up.
Yep.
He's still a part of the club, isn't he, Mal?
Yeah.
Is there any support?
Not there full time, so he lives down in Canberra.
Yeah, but he's the head of culture or whatever it is.
Yes.
It's a bizarre title. I just thought Holbrook looked so lost in that press conference the other night. He literally said, I don't know where to go from here.
Yeah.
And that was the exact same line that Trent Barrett rolled out the week he got sacked.
And the other thing about it is just to watch the team play, like just looking at little things like spacings at A and B defender.
Yeah.
Like really bread and butter stuff.
Yeah.
They were awful.
Yeah.
If they'd have played a top side, like Newcastle were really struggling 3 weeks ago.
Couldn't score points, averaging 13 points a game.
With no Kalyn Ponga. Right, yeah. They did it against the Knights with no Kalyn Ponga. They got beaten by 40.
Yeah.
Like, it's scary how bad they have been. Morning, boys. Not a fan of either team from yesterday's game, but the end of the game was a joke and just shows the loophole in the rule. They have the rule changed to stop the clock in the last 5 minutes of the game. Why can't the six again rule turn into penalties in the last 5 minutes of the game? We'll stop the deliberate six again given away by the teams. Yeah, so that's... they're saying that Peter Goff couldn't have blown a penalty because it's just a six again because the ball has not stopped. So then I heard of Brandon Smith talk about it last night on the Matty John Show. Just knock on the ball
and
then it
play.
Stops play.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Breakdown play.
Have you heard of Joel Kane's solution to this slowing down?
To which problem? Joel's got a lot of solutions.
This is to the slowing down at the end of the halves or the end of the game.
Yep.
You play like rugby. You play out the final set, whatever it is. So it doesn't matter how much you slow down the tackle in that last set. If they keep going six again, you just play out that till the end of the set.
So that if you keep going to six again, it never ends.
Yeah. But the defensive team gets no advantage by laying down, giving away six again, eating up the clock because the clock just runs out for that last six.
So
it's like what happens in rugby, right? They do that final.
That's right. Until the ball is kicked out or dead or in any way, shape, or form.
And in this one, it would be the end of the six because we've only got the six tackles.
Or the end of the 66, depending on how many six agains.
But you'd eventually get a 10 in the bin like Felice Kaufusi.
So what would have happened there in that game yesterday was that it would have been, I'm trying to think, there was no knock on. So it was the player tackled by Ben Hunt.
Yeah.
Then it would have been, okay, keep playing.
Yeah.
Keep playing. It's a six
idea.
Again.
Yeah,
that's not too bad.
Yeah.
That's not too bad. The point of it is the rule needs to change. There needs to be a change to that rule because in every other time of the game or position on the field, then that is a penalty. That is a clear penalty by Ben Hunt.
Yep.
And he was no way he was square. Morning, Jimmy. I can definitively tell you that the Dragons are better than the Roosters. Your own ladder update clearly indicates this. Dragons 8th, Roosters 10th. And Robbo desperately chasing Matt Lodge to help their ailing team. Cheers, Jimbo the Dragon. Okay, Jimbo, We all have our own belief systems, and you have yours and I have mine. 1-300-01-1170-0457-736-736. We'll get to a break after that. We're back with Michelle Bishop.